You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
7:06 right now. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. If you're listening, Eau Claire on the tap, 93.5, or in Madison on WMDX, La Crosse, WLCX. Thank you for joining us this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Earlier in the show, we were talking about all the things that the state legislature is trying to get done before session ends today. And we also told you that we were going to get some expert insight, and we have that right now. State Representative Karen DeSanto is here. She represents Assembly District 40. Representative, thanks for being here. We appreciate you getting up early. I know you're up early anyway, trying to get everything done before you guys go home. Let me ask you first, the big announcement yesterday, what was your reaction when you heard Robin Voss say that he is not seeking re-election? After 13 years, he is stepping down.
Well, and good morning, and thank you so much for having me so early in the morning. I appreciate you both so much in your Civic Media. Yeah, well, yesterday was a big day. We call it a hat trick. We had a hat trick yesterday. So, Robin Voss announced he was stepping down. A lot of things, you know, it's very easy to get very divided in the legislature. In politics, as we know, politics can really boil down to a lot of things with people, but I really have to commend Robin Voss on his leadership for so many years. And he's, as a long-term leader for me, one of the reasons I ran for office was to change that leadership. So his announcement, I was very happy to hear his announcement that he would be stepping down.
Do you think that this, with his departure, Karen, do you think that this creates an opportunity for some sort of bipartisan reset? I mean, he's been there for over a decade. He was a leader of some of the more controversial Scott Walker agendas. So do you expect the policy to maybe take a more bipartisan direction as he departs and new blood essentially comes in there?
Jamie, yeah, I certainly hope for that. Really, coming as a new legislator, kind of doe-eyed, I suppose, to a degree, thinking, oh, this is how it's going to work. Well, that's not how it worked. And it was very, very, very divided. I am always hopeful that with new leadership, we could take a different bent. Just yesterday was a clear indication of that. We did have a lot of unanimous votes. They weren't on the big issues that we wanted, but to just really take a step back, I'm hoping that we do, that we can all take a step back and go, how can we best serve the people of Wisconsin? It is really not about me or him or her. It really is a collective march down the field of how we can best serve our people.
Representative, you talked about the trifecta. We talked about the one leg of the trifecta. The other two, we talked about a little bit earlier, the postpartum Medicaid coverage and the breast cancer screening bill. This is what I could never understand in talking about these for the last number of years. Why they didn't move forward, and why was it all just, is it all on Robin Voss? Is this the only reason? Because now he makes the announcement, all of a sudden he lets these votes come, and the votes pass one unanimously and one with one dissension. It seems, congratulations first on passing them, but what the hell took so long?
Oh, Brian, I don't think our 20 minutes is going to be enough. What took so long? Yeah, well, Here's the real. Unfortunately, I think being in that position for as long as he was created too much power. And when one person can wield that much authority over a party, so his party fell in line. If he said go, they went. Or if he said stop, they certainly stopped. And we know, because this was so bipartisan, we had for this year, this is the reason I ran for office. I'll tell you that, is these two bills, because this is what I cared about. And certainly once I started knocking doors, this is what people wanted to see. And when one person, literally one person, can stop good legislation for thousands and thousands of women, you really have to question what the motivation is behind that. So unfortunately, I believe that women in Wisconsin became political collateral. And when that happens, things go wrong.
So with Gail's law, as particularly, it's going to eliminate cost sharing for additional breast cancer screenings. And you mentioned helping change things for thousands of women. How big is that? I mean, when we think about the cost of medicine and being able to even just do any sort of routine care, how big is that going to be for Wisconsin women and families in general?
Absolutely. Okay, here's what we all know. We talk about women's health all the time. We talk about health, and health is such another, you know, there's a lot of nuts to crack on this tree, right? But yeah, the idea that every woman should get mammograms, and when they are not correctly read, or they are delayed, or they have to do more, insurances are a barrier. So when you can't get a follow-up, like, oh, something doesn't look good here, and you can't get a follow-up, this is Gail. And so that's why this law was named mm-hmm. after her, is she had that issue where something wasn't right, but it was delayed and delayed and delayed because of insurance and because her carriers wouldn't do more to find out what was wrong with her. And really, not one person thinks that's the wrong way to go about it. Let's do more. Let's get those rocks out of the road. Let's clear the path with insurance agencies. Let's make it status quo, that this is, if you've got a problem, that we're going to fix it for a woman. So this is really critical. This is really critical. And Gail and her family were in the audience yesterday, or not Gail, I'm so sorry, but Gail's daughter, her family. And it was so moving to see them, because they have been fighting. As you know, Gail died just last year. If we had passed this is what I mean when you asked about Robin Voss, if we had passed this 6 years ago, Gail would still be here. And that's what I reflect on, is how many women have we lost due to legislation?
State Representative Karen DeSanto is our guest. She's the representative from the 40th District. This kind of goes back to what you said about power. The legislature in a big rush to get things done because you're going home for 9 months, which I'm sure a lot of you are not happy about going home for 9 months. But what's going to be happening on the last day? What are you trying to at least get something started before this extended vacation?
Boy, I can't even tell you how much I am so disappointed in this. So as you know, they've upped the calendar. We really have it on our, we voted on a calendar first day of session last year of we will at least do the work of the people through April. And now we're in February, and suddenly, and this was thrust upon us, like suddenly, oh no, it's today, the 17th. Wow. What is today? I don't even know what day.
20th.
February 20th.
So February 20th would be the last day. So it has been like a whirlwind of getting everything done. So also just keeping the perspective is we've been at this already for 1 year. In the last 2 days, we've seen 150 bills. In the last year, maybe we saw the same amount. I have to go back and count, but come on. Right. So things are broken. Things do not work right. This is not the will. And I think, unfortunately, the people in our state just don't realize. They just wait for us to make the announcement, this passed or that passed. Mm-hmm. But the understanding of how it works. So you asked, Brian, what are we doing? We're already in plans. We've been in plans of what the next steps are. We're listening to the people and what the top line issues are. And they are affordability. It is healthcare. It is schools, K-12 schools. It is childcare. It is housing. These are the things that we're already working on, because we know our Republican majority party is going to gavel out, and they're going to go on a 10-month vacation. And unfortunately, we're part of that. If you had our votes right now, it would be unanimous that we stay in session for the rest of at least our calendar and do the work that the people sent us here to do. They're choosing to leave and not lead.
So here's the question then for anybody who is listening today, who's concerned about how their state government works and the fact that the Republicans have chose to gavel out. What do Democrats do in the meantime? You don't have the majority. You can't basically voice your opinion and say, no, we're staying. So what do Democrats do in the majority in these 9-10 months when everything is at a standstill in the state government,
representative? Well, I'm new, so this is my first year. But what we are doing with our caucus is we are already talking about ways that we can really flood the state with letting us be present. Here's what we also know. One of the reasons I think that I'm even sitting in this seat is I talked to the people in the 40th district. I knocked the doors. I went to listening sessions. We went to the schools. We talked to groups. So we are really going to be present. I want everyone to know that we are going to be present because the Democrats, and I am so fortunate to be part of this group of really caring, smart, wicked smart, and compassionate people. With that compassion, don't get me wrong, they are strong, they are fighters, and that is the very reason that these two laws passed. Had we left it to the majority party, those two laws would absolutely not have worked. We would have gaveled out and they would not have happened. But our Democratic caucus worked together. We have 54 of us now, or 45, sorry. I wish we were 54. Man, we have 45 of us, and we worked collectively to push this through, and we pressed the button of their power. Because on the other side, there are people that want this too. And we know that. So when we looked at that one guy, and they then put pressure on their leader to also make this happen. So that's why it's kind of hopeful that maybe we can work on those relationships, that we can all get done what the people want us to do.
We got a couple minutes left. Let's go back to this, the whole thing about power again. One of the big takeaways from the State of the State the other night was the governor is going to sign an executive order asking you guys to come back in the spring to talk about the potential constitutional amendment to prevent gerrymandering. One, do you think Robin Voss is going to gavel you back in for a special session? And two, what are your thoughts on what the governor said about getting these maps done?
Sure. I don't know the answer to Robin Voss, if he's going to gavel in. I sure do hope so. I mean, I hope he just does the right thing. The thing that I think about the new gerrymandering or thing is the collateral damage of those kinds of decisions. How downstream what we see is the collapse of our K-12 education. You know, we don't see things like Gail's Law and postpartum, really basic, understandable bills and laws getting passed because of this effect of gerrymandering. So I'm hopeful that we can perhaps get something in. I'm going to wait and see. I really, you know, it's a wait and see for me, but I certainly hear the damage done from years. This is decades now of this kind of work, and we need to do better for the people of Wisconsin.
We have about a minute left, and you mentioned earlier some of the issues that this legislative session did not get to. So what were some of those issues that got left on the table that you really felt like needed more conversation, or you felt like should have come to a vote for the people of Wisconsin?
K-12 education. In the state budget, we promised that we would at least do a special education reimbursement rate at 43% and 40%. Right now it's at 38%. We need to make good on our promise. I think that's a given. PFAS, clean drinking water. Knowles Nelson is a huge one. And we have fought. This has been in these last 2.5 days have really been pushing these issues forward. And that's how we got Gail's Law through. We pushed the issue. So if we could fix our K-12 situation, it would be amazing. And our part, come on, clean water? How can we not all agree on that?
Should be an easy one.
Right. It is 7:19 right now. Thank you so much to Representative Karen DeSanto, representing the 40th Assembly District. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
7:22 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. Is this AJR again?
I was going to say, but I didn't get my mic on quick enough.
That's
I was
okay.
going to say before you started, yes, to answer your question, this is AJR.
Well, I'm fast. You got to be faster than that, Parker.
I know.
Come on.
Oh, got to be quicker than that.
Wow.
So this is AJR. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're playing it.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Brian Noonan. We're playing.
In case you forgot.
Yeah. You know me, right? No. Do you know who I think I am? Anyway,
who do you think you are? I am.
I am. You are who thinks me to be.
We're never getting through this.
No, because listen, I know you're thinking the same thing I am. Why in God's name are you playing AJR?
Right.
Well, there's a reason, because you or someone you know may be a big AJR fan. Mm-hmm. And you might be thinking, Brian, did you know they're coming to the state fair this year, the Wisconsin State Fair? Have you heard? I did hear. I also know the tickets aren't on sale yet. But,
10 a.m. today, by the way, they go on sale.
Yes.
But
what can we do?
Well,
to help these
you have
out?
A chance to beat the box office because, as we just mentioned, those tickets go on sale today, wistatefair.com. But you can win a pair of tickets from Civic Media. All you have to do is open up your Civic Media app. By the way, you can get that free over on your Google or your Apple store. And this is your last opportunity to qualify mm-hmm. for this pair of tickets. Until 8 a.m., please text us. Today's word is actually, boy, we make this hard, ticket, T-I-C-K-E-T. That is the word that you need to text us using your Civic Media app. Just select your favorite station. Text the word ticket before 8 a.m. And you could be seeing AJR at the Wisconsin State Fair in August underneath the stars on a what we will hope will be a beautiful night at the Wisconsin State Fair. So text
or
us
or it'll
now.
Be a tornado and you'll be hiding under the grandstand. Either way, it's going to be a fantastic night at the fair.
It will. It's always a fantastic night at the fair.
I know we've been saying that all week and it sounds like we're sucking up. We don't get anything
out
of this.
No, but it's
so
always fun.
I'm just talking as a fan. I do love – here's the thing. I have lived in another state most of my life. You know how many times I've been to that state fair? Zero.
Oh.
I have been to the Wisconsin State Fair numerous times,
yeah.
Both just for fun and working there, and it's been a blast.
Always a great time. And again, before 8 a.m. this morning, the word ticket using your app, T-I-C-K-E-T. We've got some texters, D, Bill, John. Thank you so much for texting
in
the word.
In.
So last chance is going to be today, and we'll remind you a couple more times before 8 a.m. But we need to talk about
here's
medicine.
We know medicine. Prescriptions are expensive.
Yeah,
that's
expensive.
No secret. It's not a hot take that they're too expensive. We all know that. If you're on any sort of medication and you don't have some sort of insurance, you're really in dire straits.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see, thankfully, through my wife's employment, we have really good insurance. So, but then when I see, like after we hit we got to pay up our deductible like everybody else, but then I see what our medicine would cost if we didn't have insurance. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Forget about it. Well, now there's good news, he said, wondering.
Was this part of a 2-week plan?
Well, it's some sort of plan, Jamie. Trump RX, yes. Patients across the U.S., including right here in Wisconsin, can now purchase discounted medication from a government website. And what could go wrong with that?
I don't know. It feels a little socialist, doesn't it? From a government website, getting your medicines?
Well, it does until you drill down a little bit into Trump RX. Not to be confused with Trump University, Trump Steaks, Trump Coin, Trump Biblioteca, which he would never do because that's in another language. But
he's got to quit putting his name on things that might not go well.
No.
But at any rate, Trump RX
Trump
is
water?
Right. Trump RX is part of the administration's effort to bolster domestic drug manufacturing and also lower medication costs, which is something that I can always get behind if it's done in the proper way, right?
Yes.
So the president signed this executive order on May 12th outlining a most favored nation policy for drug pricing. And
that's where it's going to get confusing.
It gets a little confusing. It does. The initial launch features medications from 5 manufacturers who made most favored nation pricing deals with the administration. Now, those manufacturers are AstraZeneca, Eli Lilly, EMD Serono, Novo Nordisk, and Pfizer. A November 18th survey found that about half of U.S. adults worry that they aren't going to be able to afford the necessary health care they need in just the coming year. And 90% of people in that particular survey said they believe they're going to spend too much for the quality of care that they receive, which is it's true. I 100% agree with that. So then.
I was just going to say, here's what it is.
Yes, please.
It is a direct-to-consumer website for Americans to buy medications at discounted prices. The website was first announced September 30th by Trump and Pfizer's CEO. So that's what it is. And they had to make these deals, as you mentioned, Jamie, to get most favored nation. Now, when you read the list, those are most of the names that people would recognize.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what kind of deal was made? And if you were able to cut a deal to drop your prices that much and still, because we know you're in the profit business, that's business. You want to make a profit. I don't begrudge you that. But if you can lower the prices for this website, how much more are you making the rest of us pay?
Right.
That, or the insurance companies pay just for the same medication?
There's always a catch-22 with this particular administration. Now, the Trump Rx is free to use. You can use the website to search for medications that you need, and it will redirect you to the manufacturer site for purchase. You cannot use your insurance to buy prescriptions, though, at Trump Rx. It is cash pay only at this particular time. So again, it's a website though, so I'm assuming that just means credit card. And if you're interested in checking it out, it is TrumpRx.gov. So if you want to at least see what it's all about, maybe get some relief somehow. I mean, I'm always for people
do your due diligence though. This is not one of those do your own research kind of things, but do some research, check the prices, check what you can get. If you have insurance, if you don't have insurance, there's other places.
It's got Trump attached to it, so just do your research and do your due diligence. 729.
Buyer beware.
729 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. We hope you are having a great start to your Friday. A little snow falling now in Madison and other parts of the state as well. We've had some rain overnight too, so please be careful out there as temperatures are expected to cool down a little bit over today and especially into the weekend and parts of next week. We said it was fake spring. It was definitely fake spring because we're going to get back to 20s over the course of the next few days. It's 7:35 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Be sure you're listening Monday. Big changes coming to the Civic Media Network, so it should be very exciting for everybody, us included. So we hope you'll be joining us then. We ordered up the snow because it's time to talk about the Winter Olympics. Have you been following the Winter Olympics? What is your impression thus far? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We've been talking about the Olympics a lot. Big day yesterday. A lot on tap today. But let's start, and you said it yesterday, Parker, maybe it was off the air, go Badgers, the women's hockey team.
Yes.
An unbelievably exciting game. I know Frank had to be watching this game. This game was crazy. The Canada comes scoreless first period. The ladies are playing tough. Canada scores a shorthanded goal within the first 2 minutes, take a 1-0 lead, which they carried all the way to the final minute of regulation, 2:04 remaining. There was 2:04 remaining in the third period. And boom, University of Wisconsin legend Hillary Knight in her fifth and final Olympics forced the overtime. She tipped in another Badger, Layla Edwards, shot and tied the game at one. The place went crazy. And then we go into overtime. And oh, my goodness, extra free hockey. Bonus hockey is always fun. And Megan Keller backhands the shot in to give the U.S. its third Olympic gold, beating their nemesis, Canada. Frank, did you watch the game?
I did not. And
oh, my goodness.
UI. Hold on,
it's
Brian.
It's hockey.
Hold
Frank,
on.
This is your thing.
I shan't.
Believe it or not.
You're walking on air. You never thought you could feel so free. Hee hee. I get it.
That's a reference, Parker, in case you didn't get that.
I figured.
Jamie
I
and I
did the greatest American hero
our
thing.
Meeting,
we did.
I completely missed
what?
The game.
We yep. did. We did. Right,
We're really busy over here, Brian.
There's a lot
right?
happening.
I'm watching hockey, Frank.
We should have been watching hockey.
So I get a text as Jamie and I are wrapping up this meeting from my wife, and she goes, hockey team's going into overtime. So we wrap the call. I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to go watch it. And I go out into the living room and I said, where's the hockey game? To which my wife says, looks at me and goes, I'm watching figure skating.
Dude.
Because the gold medal figure skating is going on at the exact same
hockey
game. And that was Alyssa Liu, who was pretty much flawless. After taking a couple years off to find herself, she comes in again. She finishes. The place goes wild as she's skating off the ice. She looks at the camera and goes, that's what I'm effing talking about.
I love it. I love a little sassiness from the figure skater.
Great.
Because when you look at Olympic sports, right, this is always my take on it. You watch the figure skaters and they're out there and they look so elegant and they're gliding along the ice.
Yes.
So when they get off the camera and they have that type of response like Alyssa Liu did, I always find that to be a little jarring only because that's not what you see from them on the ice, but they're so
right, they're
real.
Little princesses out on the ice. So they're just like,
Yes, but I loved that from her.
I did too. It was, and it's deserved. She's the first figure skating gold medalist in 24 years for the United States. So good for her. She finished with 226 points. So, Frank, how long did it take you to wrestle the TV remote from Mrs. Frank to get the hockey game up? You didn't?
I did not do that. I cut my losses. I went into the other room, fumbled with my phone to try and get the NBC app or Peacock working. And by the time I couldn't log in, the overtime goal was scored. So I just watched the highlight.
And the Olympics is a pain in the ass about the video, right? So you probably could barely even find it online.
Such a pain in the ass. Like, good for NBC for having those rights. I get it. If Civic had the rights, we'd probably be the same way.
Yeah.
Right? I get
we'd
it.
Make sure everybody bowed down to us, but it is such a pain in the ass. And some of these apps just aren't user friendly.
No. They're really, really not.
Track of all these different passwords, and I just couldn't do it. So today I'm putting my foot down. We've got more hockey on today. Canada is going to be playing Finland. And Finland, you cannot sleep on. They did decently well in the Four Nations face-off. But when you run into Canada and the U.S., it's hard to break through.
Right.
But, you know, with Canada almost losing to, God, what was it, Czechia the other day, they could lose to Finland. So anything can happen there. I think the U.S. will handedly win later today.
You think they're going to take Slovakia? No problem?
Yes.
The playoff semifinals.
I was more worried about Sweden, and I told you a couple days ago, don't sleep on Sweden because Sweden has a lot of great players.
This the Olympic hockey is fantastic, and the fact that what were there, 7 or 8? All right, Frank, here's a question that I posited to my wife, and Jamie, you can weigh in on this because it affects you in a roundabout way. Frank, when we're cheering for men's hockey. Mm-hmm. And you're shouting out to the players. We call them boys, right? Come on, boys. Let's go, boys. Mm-hmm. That's just a thing.
Yeah.
I was hesitant to do that yesterday watching because go girls. Can we say that? I know I'm being too sensitive. And it was just my wife and I, and she wouldn't care as long as I, you know, if it was women, girls, ladies.
I think ladies. More of a question for Jamie. I think ladies, right?
Ladies, I think ladies? Ladies. Okay. Yeah, I think ladies is the way you go on that one. If you're at home, and obviously you're not going to insult anybody. Who cares, right? You say whatever. Yeah. If you're watching out, you know, at dinner or a bar, and you're really getting into it with everybody, then I think you go ladies on that particular one.
Listen, that was just a little etiquette question that I had because they were. I don't care what you call them, man. They were playing some hockey, and some of those women are unbelievably fast.
Just
crazy fast down the ice.
Yeah.
It's great.
So
I always tell people, like, women's hockey, if you want to watch great just skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the NHL is great, and men's hockey is great, and a lot of people like the violence and the extra hitting and
whatnot. There's some brute force, though, that goes into it.
There's a lot of brute force, and there's some players on the ice where their specialty is just to be out there and be in.
They're the goons,
right? You're a goon, right? Women's hockey, it's all skill. You can either handle the puck or you are not on the ice.
Yeah, because even when they get to the boards, there's not the impact. There's a lot of pushing and shoving. There's that still fighting for ice position and for the puck, but there's not the impact that you see in men's hockey. And I didn't miss it because there's a lot to watch. And the USA's goalkeeper was almost unstoppable.
Yeah.
She just did great. The whole thing. We had one more gold medal yesterday, or – qualifying for the gold medal. Eileen Gu on the half pipe. She's competed in three events. She's fallen three times, but she still somehow is in the gold medal event. So we got her. And then one disappointment, Jordan Stolz in speed skating, who had already won two gold medals in the 500 and the 1,000 meters. He got beat out by 0.77 seven hundredths of a second, seven-tenths of a second.
And he's, less of course, a Wisconsin native, 21 years old. And I thought it was interesting in that particular race because his competitor actually went into that thinking that there was no way he could actually get the gold because he was going against Stolz. He just thought, he's going to win it. I'm just going to do whatever I have to out here. And then he ended up taking the gold while Stolz slipped a little bit in the race. Chris from Waterloo, listening on WMDX, Frank, you and he have had words about hockey in the past. He says, told you Frank is a casual fan. Come on, man.
Yeah, you should have told the suits, Frank, that you're walking out. I got to go watch hockey, man. Because I've been called out by Chris in Waterloo.
Ryan,
I'm bailing on this meeting.
You know as well as I do not have the upper hand. No. Parker, you love a good Seinfeld reference. When George Costanza says, I had hand.
Yeah, I got no hand.
No. I know my place. And when figure skating is on, I can't overtake that.
Oh, I meant just in the meeting. You should have just left the meeting.
You should have.
Not with your wife.
Yeah, you should have.
You know what I'm not a casual of, Chris? This morning show. I'm working day and night to make sure.
Yes.
That's true.
For you, Chris. I do it for you.
And if I would have remembered it was on, I would have been like, ooh, you should probably go do that because that's way more exciting.
I thought about it. I almost went, Jamie, we're in the third period. It's tied.
You should have said something.
I got to go check this out. I would be remiss if I did not mention Michaela Schifrin, who was considered the greatest slalom skier in history. Finally skiing like the greatest slalom skier in history. She takes the gold in a huge, huge blowout because she won her gold medal by 1.5 seconds, which separated the silver medalist from the 12th place finisher. So that's how much she won by. She became the youngest and the oldest woman to win Alpine gold because she won when she was 18. Now she's 30. And the only Winter Olympian to win the same event with a 12-year gap. So Michaela Schifrin coming through when it really mattered. Today on tap, as Frank said, we've got men's hockey. That's going to be exciting. We've got, how could we go an Olympic update without mentioning that there is a curling women's semifinal, USA versus Switzerland today. That's right. Freestyle skating is all over. A lot of those events, freestyle skiing, hold on, I had a stroke.
I know, you're very
freestyle
excited.
Freestyle skiing qualifiers, yes. Biathlon is today. Speed skating is today. A lot going on. Frank, Chris in Waterloo already wondering, and I'm speaking for Chris in Waterloo. I'm channeling this. What will your excuse be when we speak Monday about not watching the hockey games today?
No, I'm going to watch them today.
Yes.
I have no meetings.
No.
It's Friday.
Jamie's not calling me into a...
No.
Emergency meeting, I hope.
No,
don't call me, my story's around.
We are not. I'll be napping.
Programs.
I need a nap.
Programs. I'm watching my programs, Jamie.
The programs, that's right. Oh, every day at noon, my mom was an All My Children fan. So every day at noon, we were All My Children. And then it stayed on, but we didn't actually watch it for One Life to Live in General Hospital.
Wait a minute.
But All My Children.
Luke and Laura's Wedding?
I think everybody watched Luke and Laura's Wedding.
I know.
And on All
We
My
were on the lounge in our dorm.
And I think
bunch of dudes.
When it came to the programs or your shows, I think the big one on All My Children was obviously the story of Jesse when he was killed off of All My Children. If you are a fan of the show,
spoiler,
it was like 30 years ago.
I don't know, man.
We're good.
I think Nick and Nina was another big storyline on All My Children.
And by the way, they had a big
scene under a fur blanket
of
a fire.
Luke from Luke and Laura just passed away a couple weeks ago.
Anthony Geary, rest in power.
Yes. So
look at that. This is Frank. This was not on your bingo card today that we were going to go from men's Olympic hockey to soap opera talk.
Olympic hockey. to slalom to curling to soap operas.
It's all good stuff, though. It's all good stuff. And honestly, do we want to sit and talk about politics all the time? No, no, no. The answer to that is absolutely not. I know some of you.
And the Olympics are fun.
I know.
The Olympics are exciting.
Now, I get some of our listeners would want us to talk about these things all the time. But for our own peace of mind.
When you saw the faces of the women's hockey team as they were being presented their medals, not so much when they got the stuffed animal mascots, but when they got their medals and sang the national anthem.
How can you not be excited?
I don't care. Yeah, I don't
care. How can you not be excited about that stuff? 7:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
7:52 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. And hey, you've got about 8 more minutes to qualify for that. To qualify for a pair of AJR tickets at the Wisconsin State Fair. I'll get all of those words out yet. I'm so excited
about
the concert.
It's going around. We get the Friday flu where we're like, we're just going to talk.
We do. So these tickets will go on sale later this morning over at wistatefair.com. You can beat the box office right now, though, by using your Civic Media app to text us the word ticket before 8 o'clock. TICKET. Again, you need to text us before 8 o'clock using your Civic Media app to qualify for that pair of tickets to see AJR in August under the stars at the Wisconsin State Fair. So get those texts rolling in here this morning if you want this last minute chance to qualify.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's going to, obviously, any show at the State Fair is always a fun show. But speaking of big shows, Brian.
Yeah, Jamie, we talked about baseball being a sure sign that spring is coming. Mm-hmm. Once the Summerfest lineup is announced, you know, summer is just around the corner. Even though I'm still a purist, I like the old lineup, the old scheduling better, not the three consecutive weekends.
Right.
For a number of reasons, but one, because it also affects a lot of other music venues and stuff in Milwaukee. But that's neither here nor there. If you've seen the lineup, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this year's Summerfest lineup, especially the big headliners at the in the pavilion, the amphitheater, and in the little smaller amphitheater? Mm-hmm. The big names. What do you think? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We played a little Garth Brooks, and by we, I mean Parker. Little Garth Brooks to open it up, because Garth Brooks is opening the festival two nights at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater, June 16th and 17th. I was a big Garth Brooks fan back in the day, obviously. I've only seen him once in concert. He does put on a very energetic, although well-scripted concert.
Yes.
You can tell it's very by the numbers, but he gives you what you want to see Garth Brooks give you when you see him.
Right. And I think that's the key. And here's the other thing with Garth Brooks. Even though he's gotten a little bit older and he hasn't been in, like, you know, releasing new music, he also doesn't do shows very often. So I think that bodes well for a guy who obviously has a demand and has as high energy of a show as Garth Brooks absolutely does, because it doesn't take a toll when you're only doing these ever so often, right? Like, that takes a toll on a performer.
Doesn't tour all the time, and it's really good. So Garth is opening it up. Mm-hmm. And here are some of the other big headliners. No, I shouldn't say that. Here are some of the other headliners. Ed Sheeran.
Sure.
Post Malone. Mm. Jelly Roll, or half a Jelly Roll. Muse. Cody Johnson, Megan Maroney, and Don Toliver.
All right.
I know the names of most of those people. I can't say I'm like a fan of any of them.
I will say this. I've seen I like Ed Sheeran as a performer. I've seen him a couple of different times as a performer. Right. The Ed Sheeran who used to perform early on in his career and the Ed Sheeran who performs now, I do not find them to be the same type of performance.
In what ways?
I think it's a maturity thing, I think. I think he's gotten older. I think he's married now with kids. And I just think it's a little bit different vibe. And I do like Ed Sheeran. Post Malone, I liked Post Malone had like three songs before he went country, and then he went country. And now I'm kind of like, I don't know what you're supposed to be or who you're supposed to be.
Well, he's a beer salesman, Jamie.
Yes, this is true. Muse wouldn't be horrible for me. And Jelly Roll, kudos to the weight loss dude.
I'm good for him.
I
made that joke, but no, you can say the same for me. Half of
right,
Brian
but I don't know if I
good
would go. I personally would not go spend money to see Jelly Roll in concert, but I know a lot of people would. So now at the BMO Pavilion, there some of the headliners include Styx. Welcome back to 1982. David Lee Roth, again, 1982. The Roots, you know them from Fallon. Louis Tomlinson, also Russell Dickerson, and Bijou Banton are some of the performers over at the BMO. Now, is there anybody there that you would go see as far
I'd
as...
I'd go see Styx.
Okay.
I would see David Lee Roth just to laugh, because I know it would be... this is... Because usually when I go to Summerfest, I go to the BMO Pavilion because they have bands that I identify with.
Right.
You know, usually the Bodines are there.
Sure.
They've
love
got,
the Bodines.
You know, it's they had REO there, I think, last year.
Sure.
So it's those kind of bands. I would go to laugh at David Lee Roth. Just like last year I saw, I forget who, but Loverboy was opening for them. And remember Loverboy, Jamie, with the red leather pants?
Yes, Mike Reno. Sure do.
Oh, Mike Reno couldn't even wrap those red leather pants around his arm at this point. He walked out on stage, and I let out an audible guffaw. It was just like, ah. And then I went back, and I enjoyed the music.
Has he
like
sized
I did back
up,
in the
though?
80s.
That's the question. Has he sized up, or is he chose to squeeze in?
He's not
in.
Even trying.
Okay.
No, he doesn't even. Those red leather pants exist now only in his memory.
If David Lee Roth started with his version of California Girls and then did Hot for Teacher, I'd be done. I'd be like, all right, I've seen enough. Have a good day.
Yeah, if he throws in some Van Halen stuff, that to
right.
me would be that would be
can
fantastic.
Can he, though? Legally? I'm not sure he legally
I don't
can.
Know if, I don't know. They do a lot of Hagar does a ton of
yeah. That's true. That's true.
Tour, so.
Now some of the other notable performers across the other stage this year for Summerfest include, of course, these are going to be your smaller bands: Passion Pit, Third Eye Blind, Marcus King, Group Love, Sean Paul, Megadeth, Flo Rida. Flo Rida is now like on been commissioned to like a small stage, and then DJ Jazzy Jeff, who I didn't know could perform without Will Smith.
I want to see DJ Jazzy Jeff spin those steel wheels. That is going to be an unbelievable night of entertainment.
Wasn't he only good with Will Smith though, doing like the lyrics and doing like the...
No, I think he's done. I think he's done a lot of musical stuff for other TV shows. Anyway, it's June 16th through July 4th, three consecutive weekends. You know where it's at. That's Summerfest. You can check out all the details
and
on
of course,
the website.
Get That's tickets it. If you want to go.
It's, a week is done. Another
it is.
Week. Big,
stuff.
Big announcements on Monday.
Yes, big stuff. 7:59 on the Civic Media Network.
See ya. Have a great weekend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.